Does anybody in this room ever feel like life doesn't always go according to your plans? But instead it just throws you a big curveball sometimes? Yeah. That's the title of my talk today is Surprise! And I'm talking about just that. When you're going along in your life and you have these plans and think everything is just so, and then all of a sudden life throws you this curveball of something that is entirely unexpected and sometimes unwanted, also that curveball. Things like you lose a job and you didn't expect that to happen, or things like your position at work was given to someone else and then you were put in a new position that isn't really a position that you wanted or that you think that you're going to like, or that you have a car accident and you rely on your car because you do work out of your car, things like that. Your spouse wants a divorce, or your spouse dies, or you get sick, or a tidal wave comes and washes your house away. We haven't had that one happen, though, but I saw it online this week. It's amazing. When any of those things happen, we can feel really distressed. We can actually get a little bit disoriented and feel like we've been knocked off of our feet or we've kind of lost our balance in life. We can get angry and say things like, why does this have to happen to me? Or why does this always happen to me? And then we end up feeling like a victim and we're disempowered in that victimhood. Or sometimes we get scared. And we get scared because we think that we aren't going to be okay, or that things aren't going to be okay, or that we're not going to have what it takes in order to make it through this, or just that we simply don't know how to fix what it is that's going on. And then, if you're a metaphysician, sometimes what happens too is you think, you know what? I am this spiritual person, and I'm walking this spiritual path, and I have this spiritual practice. Therefore, these kinds of things shouldn't happen to me. I see people rolling their eyes. You can relate to that. But you know what? When life throws that curveball at you, it does not behoove us to say, why me? Because it's disempowering. And just because you're walking a spiritual path and have a spiritual practice doesn't mean that things won't happen in your life that you don't want or that you don't like. Things like a car accident or losing your job. It doesn't mean that those kinds of things won't happen. And so when life throws you a curveball, or when your life doesn't go according to plan, or you feel like you've had the rug pulled out from underneath your feet, that is the time to fan the flames of your faith. That is the time to step into your faith and ignite it and bring it to life. I think it's really important to recognize really that faith is not really a noun, like a loaf of bread or a wastebasket. It's really a verb and it's really an action. Faith is something we do. Faith is something we stand in. Faith is something that we bring forward and we activate. It's an action. So you can't really say, I don't have faith when something goes wrong. But you could certainly say, I'm not acting in faith, or I'm not using my faith, or I'm not coming from faith in this position. And so I read a story this week that I'd like to share with you about faith and lack of faith. It says, there were two men shipwrecked on an island. The minute they got on the island, one of them started screaming and yelling, we're going to die! We're going to die! There's no food! We're going to die! Do you ever do that? We're going to die! There's no food or water! The second man was propped up against the palm tree, acting so calmly that it drove the other man crazy. Don't you understand? We're going to die, he says. The second man replied, you don't understand. I make $100,000 a week. The first man looked at him quite dumbfounded and asked, what difference does that make? We're on an island with no food and no water. We're going to die. And the second man answered, you just don't get it. I make $100,000 a week, and I tithe one-tenth of that $100,000. My pastor will find me. That's a hysterical. But really, faith is a way of seeing life. Faith is a way of holding things. Faith is a knowingness that we live from, a knowingness that's not intellectual, but a knowingness that's deep inside of us. Maybe like a knowingness, I have a knowingness that I am absolutely whole. So that regardless of what happens in my life, I am whole in the midst of me. Nothing can take away or disturb that wholeness. Maybe for you, faith means knowing that you are in good hands all the time. Maybe faith for us means knowing that life is for us. Dale Carnegie says, obviously, circumstances alone do not make us happy or unhappy. It is the way we react to the circumstances that determines our feelings. Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven is within you. That is where the kingdom of hell is too. Do you create hell for yourself sometimes when things happen like that? So we create hell by telling ourselves things like, this is terrible, this thing that's going to happen. Or it's never going to get better. Or everything is just ruined now. Or I am ruined, or my life is ruined now. We tell ourselves things like, nothing's ever going to be good again. Life sucks. There are no options. I'm doomed. All those things are things that we say to ourselves and think in our heads when life pulls a whammy on us. Do you know the story of Steve Jobs? Steve Jobs was just 30 years old and wildly successful, fabulously wealthy, and a global celebrity, and then it all came crashing down. He had revolutionized personal computing and created an iconic brand, only to be forced out of the company that he had built into a billion-dollar colossus. He says, I was out, and very publicly. He recalled at a commencement speech at Stanford University, and God calls. In the room. It is background music. He says, I was out, and very publicly. He recalled at a commencement speech at Stanford University. What had been the focus of my entire adult life was gone, and it was devastating. And he added, and it was a very public failure, and I was a very public failure. Jobs left Apple and spent the summer of 1985 in a, quote, midlife crisis, deciding what he wanted to do with his life and flirting with all kinds of possibilities. From entering politics to becoming an astronaut. Steve Jobs' firing was the best thing that happened to him. In a famous 2005 Stanford speech, Jobs admitted he really didn't know what to do for a few months. I felt that I had let the previous generation of entrepreneurs down, that I had dropped the baton just as it was being passed to me. He added, I even thought about running away from Silicon Valley. But something slowly began to dawn on me. I still loved what I did. The turn of events at Apple had not changed that one bit, and so I decided to start over. The day after Labor Day, 1985, Jobs dialed up a former colleague, and together they launched a new computer company called Next. Jobs also launched Pixar Animation Studios. In 1996, Apple Computer, by now struggling, acquired Next, returning Jobs to the company he had helped create. And the following year, Jobs became Apple's CEO, driving the company into its greatest success, from the iPod to the iPhone to the iPad. The conventional wisdom was that Steve Jobs was a great visionary, but not a great businessman. But in his second time at Apple, he wasn't just a visionary. He made a point of learning how to be a great businessman. Jobs put it this way in a speech to Stanford graduates. I didn't see it then, but it turned out that getting fired from Apple was the best thing that could have ever happened to me. The heaviness of being successful was replaced by the lightness of being a beginner again. Less sure about everything, it freed me to enter into the most creative part of my life. I'm pretty sure none of this would have happened had I not been fired from Apple. When life throws us those curveballs, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to bring something new forward that we have not yet discovered or given birth to or accessed that lives inside of us. In Romans 8:31, it says, if God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, then that means that life is for us. If God is for us, that means the universe is on our side all the time, even when we can't see it. And because we live in this law of mind, this law of mental equivalence, this law of attraction, that means that life then mirrors, our life mirrors out here what's going on inside of us. It means that it's done unto us as we believe. As we believe, as our attitudes and our beliefs and our focus and our thoughts. So what that means then is our thinking, when something happens, creates the thing that's going to happen next. It's the determining factor about what happens next in our lives. And so Ernest Holmes says, faith must be used. Faith in a power greater than we are, based on the firm conviction that we live in a divine presence that wishes only good for us. Conviction that we live in a divine presence that is the good itself. Faith that we live in that presence and that our life is imbued by a divine intelligence, by an infinite mind, by the absolute knowingness and intelligence of this universe. That intelligence that orchestrates everything in this universe, that orchestrates a tomato seed growing into a tomato plant, is somehow orchestrating what is going on in our life. And so I have a little side story. This summer, or a few couple months ago, we went up to San Simeon, and there's a beach near there where the elephant seals come, and they sleep on the beach. There's hundreds of elephant seals. And there are also people out there who are educated, and they're talking to people and telling us about them. And I stopped and was talking to this one man for quite a while. What do you call that when someone does that for a job? A docent. He's a docent. Dressed like David dresses, with a camouflaged vest on and his stuff, really cute. And he knew so much about these elephant seals, it was incredible. And I asked him, so how often do they have to come up and breathe? And he says, well, actually they come up every hour and a half, but they don't breathe oxygen. They dive down and the blubber on their body is burned and turns into oxygen. Every hour and a half, they come up to exhale carbon dioxide and nitrogen. How is that for a divine design? If there isn't an intelligence in this universe that made that work like that, it's just amazing. So the thing is then, it behooves us to recognize and to focus on that intelligence and how that intelligence is right at the center of our lives. Right at the center of our lives all of the time. So faith looks like recognizing that intelligence is right here, remembering that life is for us, remembering that everything, everything is working for good. One of my very favorite lines from the Marigold Hotel was, everything will be all right in the end. And if it's not all right, then it's not yet the end. Don't you love that? So I think then it behooves us to recognize that when we're in the midst of one of those challenges, one of those things, that this is just one step in this process, that what's going on is one step in this eternal path of unfoldment that you are living and being, unfolding your own magnificence, unfolding your own power, unfolding your own beauty, your own wisdom, unfolding your own soul, your own spirit, that is the same essence as the infinite. The same exact essence. That's what you're made out of and what your core essence is. It's a step in the process of unfolding that. And it's giving you the opportunity to unfold that. And so then when life throws you the curveball, that is the time to step into your knowingness. That's the time to fan the flames of your faith. What do I know at the core of my being? What do I know from my spirit? To fan those flames, because that sets the new cause in motion. That sets the new cause for things working out for your best, for things working out speedily and easily, and you getting the information that you need and the insights that you need and all those things. That is also, I think, the time to stop and remind yourself of how things in the past have worked out. How something in your life that you thought was catastrophic or a tragedy, how that really worked out for the best, like the Steve Jobs story. To stop and look back at how those things worked out. Yes, I feel scared in this moment, but when I look, that thing turned out better than I could have ever dreamed. To remind yourself of that. And when you remind yourself of that, then you remember there's really nothing to be scared of here. I'm in good hands. I'm in the hands of the love intelligence of this universe. That is also the time to do affirmative prayer, to do spiritual mind treatment, to remind yourself of the spiritual truth that resides inside of you. To remind yourself that there is an intelligence in this universe that permeates everything. That intelligence in those elephant seals is right here at the center of my life. It's the time to remind yourself that there is only one life, and that life is my life. To remind yourself that good is the nature of the divine, that good is the nature of my life. To remind yourself that God, the infinite, by whatever name you call it, is the only power that there is. There aren't two powers. There aren't six powers. There aren't 11 powers. There's one power, one animating force, one life force, perfect intelligence in this universe. That imbues everything. When life throws you the curveball, that is the time more than ever to meditate, to get to that center of yourself where there is peace. Peace that isn't about this world. To find your center, the place of peace that is beyond thought, beyond reaction, beyond attachment. There is peace and centeredness and anchoredness and enoughness and wholeness and power and everything that you could possibly need in that moment. And the more you practice that when you're not having a crisis in your life, the easier it is to get there when you are having a crisis in your life. Ernest Holmes says, in order to have faith, we must have a conviction that all is well. Affirm that. Use that affirmation. Let that be your mantra. All is well. Even here, even now, all is well. And I'd like to close with a story that's called, Do You Have an Anchor? The mighty Niagara River plummets some 180 feet at the American and Horseshoe Falls. Before the falls, there are violent, turbulent rapids. Further upstream, however, where the river's current flows more gently, boats are able to navigate. Just before the Welland River empties into the Niagara, a pedestrian walkway spans the river. Posted on the bridge's pylons is a warning sign for all boaters. Do you have an anchor? Followed by, do you know how to use it? Faith, like an anchor, is something we need to have and use in order to avoid spiritual cataclysm. Do you have an anchor? Do you know how to use it? Is it in good working order? Do you know how to throw it over when you need it? So my invitation to you is to build that faith muscle. Practice throwing that anchor over the boat. Build your faith muscle and use it regularly. Create that anchor. Discover what it is that you already know in your spirit. Do that spiritual mind treatment and do meditation and use affirmations. Do those things until it's not just a conscious thought, but it becomes part of your subjective reality. Then it's in your back pocket and you can just pull it out really easily all the time. Remind yourself of the truth every day. And then you'll be moving through life with such greater ease and greater peace, even when life says, surprise! And so blessings to each and every single one of you on this pathway of self-discovery and discovery of your own magnificence and your own power and discovery of this magnificent universe that we live in. Blessings to each and every single one of you. So how good it is to answer this call of my own soul, of my own spirit, to turn to this infinite presence that is always beckoning me home. This presence that is always beckoning home within to remember and to recall and to stand in the truth and to stand in the light that, yes, there is only this one magnificent presence. That is this thing I call life itself. It is that one infinite knowingness and wisdom and intelligence that is the basis and the very core of everything. That which the quantum physicists tell us there is only intelligence and energy, inseparable. That is what everything is created of, and it is the activity of that infinite one. That everything we see around us, that life itself, is the activity of the divine. Activity of love, intelligence, wisdom, order, harmony, peace, all of it is this one unfolding itself all around us. And I recognize that we are one with this presence, that it is the life that we live, it is the thing that breathes us and makes our hearts beat, it is the thing that speaks within us as heartfelt passions and dreams and longings that lead us on this path of ever becoming more and more of who we truly are, that we are, yes, indeed, on this eternal path of unfoldment. And I know that, yes, that presence goes with us and goes before us into every single thing that we do. It enters the room before we do. It makes the way open and plain and smooth. It unfolds itself as a blessing everywhere we go, for we walk in this energy and we walk as this energy of beauty and of love, of glory, of gentleness and kindness and love and compassion and power and creativity. All of it is this one presence. And so I know that we cannot be separate from it for a moment in time. For it is the very essence of who we are. And so I speak this word knowing that today we are each being poured out a blessing so great that we could not receive it. That presence expresses itself in our bodies as health and wholeness and vibrancy. That it expresses within our minds as guidance and wisdom and being led into our perfect areas of expression. That it expresses itself as opulence of every kind of good that we could ever desire. For it is absolutely God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. And we are walking in this kingdom right now. And it is for all of this that I give deep thanks, that I stand in gratitude. And so I release this prayer into that infinite law of the universe that is the very law of my being and the law of my life. And I give thanks for this, and I let it go, and I let it be, and so it is.